Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 3, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Rangers baseball is coming up at 6:30 tonight, and Rangers need to win two here tonight and then tomorrow afternoon in Houston to trim this lead back to one before we get to the final three series of the season. Jared Sandler's 20 minutes away. We're going to talk more about your Rangers with Sands coming up in 20. Mark Schlereth at 4:40. Here's Wolchuk with your daily football fix.
It's some interesting things to talk to Jared about. Is Doley not in the lineup tonight as Michael Hellman will be starting for the Rangers, playing center? Cody Freeman's back in there playing second base as well. Alejandro Osuna in right field. So full-on Little Rascal vibe tonight behind Merrill Kelly as they take on A.J. Blueball of the Houston Astros. We got to figure out about this Blue Ball guy. Can't tell you I know much about him. We'll find out if he's any good. Tomorrow, by the way, come on out, hang out with us. We're going to be in Argyle. Argyle Stand Up. We're going to be broadcasting from Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits there, right off 8595 US 377 in Argyle. It's the grand opening and ribbon cutting for Argyle Station, 2 to 6:30. We're going to be out the next 3 days. We're at Williams Chicken in Arlington on Thursday, and then back at Pickler Universe on Friday. So a couple opportunities to come say what's up, fellowship, hang out with us as we're out and about. It is official. We know who's calling Cowboys Christmas Day versus the Commandos. It's going to be Ian Eagle, Nate Burleson, and Matt Ryan. They are getting the duties on the NFL Christmas Day on Netflix. Cowboys Commanders. Noah Eagle, Ian's son.
Fun.
Is going to be broadcasting Lions Vikings with Drew Brees following Cowboys Commanders. So we get Ian, Nate, Matt Ryan, but of course, we're not going to be listening to them. You'll be listening to Brad, Babe, and Christy right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's the only way to do it.
Best way to do it. Last night.
That might be for a playoff spot, by the way.
Could be. I hope it is. I hope
it
is.
Might be for a playoff spot.
Might be for the division.
Maybe so.
Could be. Pete Carroll had to respond to a Tom Brady report. Now, during the game.
It was up in the box, wasn't
it? Here was Peter Schrager. Yeah, he's giving us some more information. What's going on with Tommy Brady, who was there Monday Night Football for the 80s?
We've got a special member of the Raiders ownership group here today, and that's Tom Brady, who is in the house and is with the coach's box tonight. I was wondering how much Brady really had an involvement with this team. We hear so much about Brady as the owner. Chip Kelly told us that he talks to Brady 2 to 3 times a week. They go through film, they go through the game plan, and Brady is a luxury for the coaches. Who else has an owner who's actually been there and done that?
5% stake.
That's an amazing sight right there.
Now Chip Kelly uses them as a resource every single week.
Yep, why wouldn't you?
I guess after the game, Pete Carroll had to say that's not accurate. We have conversations. I talk to Tom. Chip talks to Tom regularly. We have a tremendous asset. We get along well. We respect each other. But we're just talking about life and football a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
That's Pete Carroll's ego.
We're lucky to have him as an owner. We're not actually talking to him about game plans for the week.
I'm sorry, but if I need to find out how much Chip Kelly and Tom Brady are talking, I'm not going to Pete Carroll. So that one is weird, but I get it, you know, and as long as the NFL is going to allow it,
they are,
you know, for him to be in meetings and then him to be in the coach's booth against, you know, a team that he's been in meetings with, it's weird. I would not talk to him if I'm the opposition, and where I'd be very mindful of this if I was the opposition, considering his history, you know? And I do think it's smart for the Raiders to include Tom Brady in any way possible because he was around greatness for 2 decades. He absorbed all of that. We can already tell, maybe not from TV, but some of the podcasts that he does, his level of understanding on the science of winning and the process of it. It's, you know, I think he has better than most head coaches understanding of the global view of how a football operation should go.
Yeah, and the work that needs to go into it. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said that there are no policies that prohibit an owner from sitting in the coach's booth or wearing a headset during a game. Brady was sitting in the booth in his capacity as a limited partner. So did
we got the lady owner from the Colts.
She's doing it too. The difference is lady owner from the Colts isn't going on Fox broadcasting Cowboys Bears.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying though. Let me ask you this though. Was Brady involved with the broadcast with the Giants Commanders game in week one?
He was.
Okay, so the Raiders are playing the Commanders this week.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly the conflict of interest.
So you're calling the Commanders games. You're getting all the behind the scenes access about what the Commanders want to do, and now all of a sudden your Raiders are playing them.
Okay, this now I have a problem with.
And you just played. Yeah. He just called Eagles Chiefs, and that's a divisional opponent, right, of the Raiders. So yeah, it is. It's like they're back allowing him to interview these guys and coaches and players to get ready for his Fox duty.
That would be on Monday night when the Raiders play at Kansas City, October 27th.
Yeah, and he'll probably be there.
And I do wonder how much these teams are sort of withholding from him.
You got to. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. Like, Gavin, 100% right. You just can't.
I would request him not being in the room.
Yes, if the Raiders are on your schedule.
I would say, listen, Tom, you're a legend, Hall of Famer, all those great things. You can't be in the room.
I wonder how much they'll force it, because the real story here is that TV money is daddy, and we're willing to not have competitiveness be fair and integrity be fair because we need Fox to be made whole, and we need to make Tom Brady a better broadcaster. That's what this really comes down to. But I think he needs to just pivot away from it.
Yeah.
He'd be so much better running a football team.
Just go be full-time GM dude with you and Spytek or whatever the guy's name is.
I'm with you. I think that he's average as a broadcaster. I haven't heard much. We'll hear more of him, I guess.
He's got our game this weekend. You know? He's got our game this week, yeah.
But like 2-on-4, you guys act like Brady can't be trusted. It's not an issue of trust.
He can't.
I think that's a sarcastic.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like he wants to win at all costs, right? So obviously, if he has information and
that is
the Raiders want,
go
ahead. I'm going to tell the Raiders. Like, I would do the same thing if I were him.
If I'm talking to Chip Kelly twice a week, three times a week, and he's asked me, well, hey, what did you hear from the Commanders there? You know? What did you learn from Dan Quinn there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, man.
Can you come here in the booth so I you don't have to text me when you see these things?
Yeah.
I think it was stupid on Chip Kelly's part to admit he talks to Tom Brady. That's stupid on his part.
Yeah.
I never talk.
Not head coach material.
I don't talk.
Not our guy.
We don't talk.
I do think the 6-8-2, it makes a good point. It can't be an advantage. Like, did you see the Raiders play? Yeah. That might be a Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly just might not be for the NFL. I do wonder about that.
Well, he was good at Ohio State. He's
really good in college. Yeah. His tracker in the NFL, like, he had a good year with the Eagles. It's kind of been a little iffy.
But if I'm one of the other 31, last night really didn't change anything. You know, because he could get whatever information he needs to Chip Kelly at any point throughout the week, at any point throughout the season. But back when the NFL changed this rule, we had an internal meeting and decided nobody is ever going to tell Tom Brady jack squat.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
All right, so Caleb Williams famously texted the punter of the Bears after he was taken in the first round, and he said, quote, hey, you're not going to punt much anymore, is what he told Taylor. Well, since then, they're averaging 5 punts a game with with Caleb Williams in 19 games that they've played. They've punted 92 times over the course of those 19 games. So that hasn't worked out well, and that's going to haunt him until eventually that offense ends up being good and he starts to live up to being the number one overall pick. The other thing here is you had a diehard Bears fan, and I respect the hell out of these diehard fans because I'm one of you and I love you, but I would never do something like this. He has vowed to run 1 mile for every point the team loses by. Well, they just lost by 31 points. To the Lions.
It's going to be a long week.
He's got to run 31 miles. And I wonder just how many points, hopefully it's a lot, that they lose to the Cowboys by. I mean, over the year, this guy is going to be in peak physical
fitness. So he runs every week for the loss or the points?
Every week.
every week.
He's
so.
Going to, for however,
however
many,
much they lose by.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 months
and it's good for him because he's now made, he's got a TikTok page going. He's on social media.
So he's being held accountable for this?
Yeah, he's posting the videos.
At least he's not
doing
eating poo
this.
Or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
that Florida State person ever ate the poo.
The hell no, they didn't.
No, they didn't eat the poo.
The one guy put the Taco Bell burrito up where the sun don't shine.
Square up, yeah. Yeah.
But the poo eater guy,
hey.
I don't know what he's doing.
There was... Let me find this real quick because there was another allegation about a certain program. Uh-oh. If they lose a game and what would be done. I will find this because that program did lose.
Oh, no. Well, I hope that they ended up paying off on that. Also, if you've seen the reports that Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt might be trying to grant him a seventh season of eligibility with the NCAA, Diego Pavia has, quote, tweeted on 3Sports and said, that's cap. This is my last year. He has no plans of playing a seventh year. Maybe he thinks he's actually got a chance to be drafted the way he's been playing there.
Yeah,
the way
Vanderbilt's a lot better. Yep.
He's got a chance. It's very possible. Okay, let's hear from Ben Jones. Former center.
Who?
Ben Jones.
Oh.
Ben.
Oh, Mike Jones?
Good old Ben has a story about him playing in a game and he breaks his collarbone. Take it away, Ben. This is graphic for those listening.
I get it caught in a twist and collarbone comes through. Sticking in the back of my throat. All the fans and reporters think I have the stomach virus because that bone is sticking in the back of my throat, tickling it, making me throw up.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to this story.
I come to the sideline. It was on third down, thank goodness I didn't have to come out. I come to the sideline. I'm like, hey, my collarbone's out. And they're like, what do you mean it's out? I'm like, it's poking through. So I'm like trying to put it back in place on the sideline, and they throw it back in. They're like, all right, can you snap? So every time I would snap, it would pop out and hit me in the back of the throat. So I'm like constantly throwing up because
it's a gag reflex, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You stick your finger down your throat, you're gonna throw it. Imagine a bone hitting the back of your throat.
Oh,
it's gonna make you throw up. So I'm like, my wife's in the stand, my mom's there that game. She's like, is Ben sick? Like, what's going on? Like, I wish I was sick. I wish I had the stomach back.
Anything other than my clavicle hit.
Yeah, like so. So all the next week, couple weeks of practice, I couldn't snap at practice. I just hem the football and go out there and practice. And I'm like, all right, tough it out during the games, and it's gonna just keep poking out. Just figure it out during the game.
That sounds awful. Talk to sports.
There's no way I'm playing. Do we not have a backup center?
They're built
the long
snapper
out there.
Not a very good one. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's an unbelievable story there from former Titans center Ben Jones. Also played with Houston for a while. But yeah, that would be just awful. Every time you are snapping the ball, a bone is. Oh, yeah.
I'm getting the GM on the phone there the next time we punt or score or whatever. I'm saying I'm not going back out unless you double my flipping salary effective immediately.
Yes.
Go ahead and conference my agent in. I got my collarbone sticking into my throat and I'm choking on it.
Sounds disgusting.
Holy cow. By the way, it turns out whoever it is that runs the Pack Chat Network on Twitter. No, it's the, I guess, is it still the Pack? Pac-12, even though there's...
Oh, yeah. It's still Pac-12.
So they said if Oregon State loses... This was back in mid-August. If Oregon State loses to Texas Tech, I will eat a dog-ass-filled burrito. So that was...
Oh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was what they were alleging. And then after Texas Tech, of course, mopped the floor with Oregon State 45-14, you had the Texas Tech football legit account quote tweet the dog ass filled burrito and say, we'll provide the tortillas.
Damn right they will.
It's a great response.
Let's go. And yeah, 806
we'll
is
see.
All on this.
We'll see if that comes to fruition. Yeah, shout out to the 806.
Wow. Bengals have also signed Sean Clifford. And Mike White, former Cowboys quarterback, is going to be on the practice squad as they're getting ready for the Jake Browning season there with the injury to Joe Burrow. And finally, which team's the best 0-2 team, fellas? You got the Browns in Cleveland. You got the Jets in New York.
Nope.
The Dolphins in Miami.
Nope.
Titans.
Nope.
Panthers.
Nope.
Saints.
Nope.
The Bears.
Nope.
The Giants.
Nope.
The Texans.
Maybe.
And the Kansas City Chiefs. Any of those 0-2 teams you're still buying stock in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to quite punt on the Chiefs.
Just the Chiefs? Only just the Chiefs?
Yet. I think there's Houston's got to play here.
Houston's still got a shot?
Houston should still have a chance. Yeah.
I think the Bears could be all right if they trade for a different quarterback.
All right, the Bears?
What about the Giants, though, if Russ?
How about those Giants? Let Russ cook, huh?
Good front, Russ, Robinson, and Neighbors. Maybe 7 wins in there.
So maybe 4 most teams out of those 10.
Yeah, but the Giants have such a difficult schedule. It's just not going
to
work for
them. About to beat Kansas City to make us go, Kansas City.
469, they're on the Panthers, not giving up on those Panthers. That might be our buddy Crowley. Yeah. Used to produce our Bet Nation show on the BetMGM network. He was big on the Panthers this year. There's your daily football fix.
Thank you, Wolchuk. The Astros throwing blue ball tonight against Merrill Kelly. First pitch coming up at 7:05. Down there in Houston, and pregame's coming up at 6:30. We're going to chat with Jared Sandler, see what he can tell you as he previews a must-win game for your Rangers tonight. That's coming up next here, G-Bag Nation on the Fan. All right, let's talk Rangers-Astros with Jared Sandler. He's got the pregame coming up in just over 2 hours, 6:30 from Houston. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We'll be live tomorrow. Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits. They're in Argyle, and it's going to be a party, a big celebration tomorrow. Dan's Bagel is going to be there. Argyle Cigar and Smoke.
Oh, there we go.
Food trucks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great place. If you're out in the area, do swing by tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. Alrighty. A segment's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. And a good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Well, okay. So Adolis Garcia not in the lineup tonight. Is that due to his 0-for-8 since his return, or do you think this was always going to be this way?
You know, Boch is going to speak here in a little bit and probably get a little more clarity. I mean, I could see – I don't know that you would just bench him for rest in a game like this. It could be that they're not pumped about what they've seen, understanding that, you know, he got back as soon as he possibly could, and maybe they don't feel like, you know, it's all the way there yet. And, you know, in a big game, they wanted to, you know, start with him on the bench, or, you know, maybe he's not fully right. You know, I guess we'll learn here in probably about 20 minutes, you know, whenever Boch talks to the media. But, you know, I think let's just assume it's the former. You know, I think you absolutely had to put him in the lineup these last two games to see if he had anything. You were averaging less than 4 runs per game without him. But, you know, if you don't feel like he has anything, this isn't April, May, June, July. You know, you're not going to give a guy as much runway. So if you feel like he's really compromised, or he's telling you, hey, my lower half just isn't able to give me the strength that I need it to give me right now, you got to win this ball game. And so, you know, perhaps you'll see him off the bench, you know, in a big spot. Maybe they want to use his bat off the bench against the lefty as a threat to try and, you know, Boch has done a couple things here with the lineup. One of those things is to have Jock Peterson flanked by 2 righties in front and behind him to make it a little more challenging to isolate him with the lefty. And, you know, maybe having Adolis on the bench is another possible deterrent for something like that. So it'll be interesting to see. Last night, even though it didn't work out for the Rangers, was an incredibly fascinating chess match of moves and strategy, and I'm sure we'll see more of that here tonight.
How'd you like Garcia's ABs?
I didn't love them, but, you know, I guess I'd also use the caveat there in that there are times when he's healthy and you don't really love the ABs, right? I mean, he's that type of player. It's not – I don't know enough to tell you whether or not he's doing things that, you know, he otherwise wouldn't do. Like Corey Seager earlier this year, trying to play through the hamstring, he just wasn't driving the ball the way that you usually see. And you could tell that, you know, something was a little bit different as he was trying to, you know, re-strengthen that hamstring. I can't tell you that I saw anything with Adolis. You know, the first ball he hit in New York on Sunday was a missile, you know, out to, I forget where in the outfield, but a line out in the outfield. And so I don't know that I don't know that I saw anything there. You know, like I said, he is prone to having approaches to the plate that maybe aren't what you'd want. And that at bat he had in extra innings on Sunday was not, you know, not the type of plate appearance you'd like to see. You know, I will say defensively, he isn't moving as well as he typically does. And that probably is to be expected. But, you know, maybe that's an indication that, you know, things are really bothering him. He's trying to fight through it in a big part of the season, but it just right now isn't clicking, perhaps.
Jared, this Yordan Alvarez injury, pretty big implications here. I mean, you never know who's going to be the unlikely hero. It was Zach Cole last night, but listening to the pregame show and Boach talking about, yeah, it really hinges on how we pitch against Yordan Alvarez. Without him now, not only for this series, but for the stretch run, how do you think this shakes things up in the AL West?
Well, yeah, I mean, that definitely impacts them. He's you know, their best. He's their best hitter. You know, Jeremy Pena is really good, and Carlos Correa has obviously been there and done that in big moments. Altuve's fine, but, you know, Alvarez is the guy for this team. With that said, you know, they are just missing him and Isak Paredes, but Paredes, I think, might be back later this week. And so they still have a lineup that's good enough. You know, it's a lineup that's maybe not good enough. Listen, a team gets hot in October. We've seen what can happen, right? It's not a lineup you look at and say, wow, this is going to super scare me in the postseason, but it's absolutely a lineup good enough for them to run out the season, you know, with Christian Walker being semi-productive and Jake Myers healthy. You know, the Yordan Alvarez loss is significant, but, you know, I would say that given what's around him in their lineup, not as significant as Corey Seager's absence right now from the Rangers.
Jared, what did you think about the Jack Leiter start last night?
Yeah, I thought he was fine. I kind of thought that, you know, they sent him out for the seventh. I don't want to say out of desperation, but really just in survival mode with the bullpen. You know, you're down Martin, you're down Milner, you're down Armstrong, and you're down Cole Wynn. So, you know, at that time, it was a one-run game. I thought maybe they would have gone to Jacob Webb the minute he got a base runner. The fifth inning was kind of unfortunate. He got three ground balls, and unfortunately the first one was an error, and then the next two they couldn't turn a double play. And then the pitch that he threw to Zach Cole, listen, I'll tell you this, in the first inning he was throwing some meatballs, and the Astros, you know, probably because of the power on that fastball, they weren't able to square it up. He righted that, and the home run he gave up to Zach Cole, I looked it up earlier, that pitch type, that location from Jack Leiter this year, prior to that swing from Zach Cole, is an .037 batting average. So, you know, that's a good swing. And maybe that's a guy, you know, anticipating a pitch in that spot and just, you know, being able to take advantage of it. Should never have been in that position, unfortunately, because of the error. The first inning was not very good. And, you know, the one unearned run, you know, there are two runs total. One of them was unearned. It was unearned because of his error. But he really, you know, corrected things. And I'll say this, the fact that he was able to work into the seventh could prove to be vital tonight because the Rangers, a big advantage for them tonight, and we'll see if it plays a role or not, their bullpen is a lot better positioned tonight to win a close game than the Astros based on usage here in recent days. And I was telling the guys you know, on the TV side this a second ago, obviously want the Rangers to win and not going to complain if the Rangers win 15-1, but I almost wonder if it'd be advantageous for the Rangers to win a close game to try and force Joe Espada to use some more of his leverage arms tonight and then maybe make them a little more vulnerable for tomorrow. But, you know, you can't beg and choose how you win games. If the Rangers win by margin, that's fine too. They just need to find a way to win. But they are one advantage for them here tonight is they do have the fresher bullpen of the two teams.
Yeah, it seems like, though, last time out, though, for the Astros starter, only lasting four innings against the Tigers. So is that maybe something like, you know, is this something? I know it's 3-1 with the record with 2.45 ERA, but is that, you know, something that maybe is that a trend for them for him that all of a sudden if you can knock him out like in the fourth and get into that bullpen a little more?
No, that'd be huge, Broadus. And you know, they just being able to get to Jason Alexander, knocking him out in the fifth yesterday, was not insignificant.
He was cruising.
Now, Blueball is probably not a guy who's going to give you more than five innings anyway.
Okay.
So you're probably, if you're the Astros, you're probably looking at least four innings from your bullpen. And given the significance of games right now, maybe Joe Espada would be more aggressive, right? You know, if this was May, maybe they would try and, you know, push him a little bit more than they would tonight. So, yeah, I think, you know, I don't know what their plan is. And maybe they're looking at this as a one-time through and they want to go straight bullpen game. You know, from start to finish, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I mean, the more arms you can use, the more arms you can, you know, get on the mound, the better off you're going to be, not just for tonight, because hopefully that means that you're knocking guys out of the game, but also for tomorrow. Because remember, both teams have an off day on Thursday, and maybe we are at the point in the year where you will use a guy 3 days in a row without hesitating if they tell you you're ready. But you know, it's not something a lot of these guys across the league do through the first 5 months of the season. And so even if a guy says he's ready, you know, it's not something that they're used to doing. And so if you can get Brian King out there and Stephen Okert out there again tonight and maybe do it in a winning situation for the Rangers, all of a sudden tomorrow the Rangers, you know, are entering tonight Armstrong, Maton, Milner, Coulomb, who is activated, and Cole Wynn, none of those guys pitched yesterday. So worst case, they're going to go back-to-back days this series. They're not going to be asked to go three straight. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, you trade yesterday's loss or anything, right? You'd rather be in a position to sweep a series. But the reality is they lost. It is what it is. Moving forward, you know, that is one area of an advantage for the Rangers tonight. But the hitters have to take advantage of it, right? They can't let AJ Blueball settle in and then all of a sudden – you look up, he's gone five innings, and you're limiting the exposure for the Astros bullpen.
That Okert was good last night for them. Man.
Yeah, and that to me, guys, that week we can talk about sending Jonah Heim, and obviously, you know, Tony Beasley took accountability for that. I thought, you know, that at bat there, the chess match of Okert versus Peterson and the decision to let Peterson hit versus lefty go to the bench. I thought that was interesting. I'm curious, you know, I'm sure Eric will ask Boach about that. And we'll get that on the pregame. But I'm curious what all goes into that decision, because it's easy to say, well, it didn't work out, so it was a horrible decision. But I don't love to look at decisions just based on, you know, one outcome. I'd love to know the thought process and, you know, what all was considered in that moment. But to me, the amateur view, you talk about not, you know, not just looking at the computer, but the feel of the game. Momentum had swung in the Rangers' favor. You know, what if they would have been able to add another run that inning? And the other thing, too, is Jock Peterson wasn't going to face a righty his next time up either, because they had Brian King ready to go. And so it wasn't like you were compromising Jock for a potential opportunity against a righty later. But I'm sure there were a lot of reasons why, you know, they decided to let Jock hit in that situation. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out.
Jared, do you feel like, though, because it sounded like to me that they were thinking that maybe that he had had some success and he'd had some good at-bats against left-handers recently, the battles and stuff that he had, and they felt like that maybe that Boach kind of was like just a gut that hey, he had been swinging the bat a little bit better here the last month or so?
Yeah, you know, he had the home run against Cleveland. You know, that was against I forget who it was. I think it was against Eric Sabrowski, if I'm not mistaken. That was his first home run off of a lefty, first hit off of a lefty. And then he had another one against the Athletics. But, yeah, I mean, he just looked overmatched against Okert, right? And it was almost like he was hoping that, you know, he could get ahead and maybe coax a walk or something. But, yeah, I mean, and maybe that was a part of it, right? Maybe they felt like, all right, you know, maybe a little more comfortable. Maybe we can get by. And because the Rangers were winning, I'd say this: if the Rangers were down one in that spot, I don't think he hits. I do think a part of it was up one, and you know, maybe we can get away with keeping him in for right now and just seeing how it plays out next time through. But you know, obviously the Astros were able to reclaim the lead after the Rangers. After the Rangers took the lead, and then the Rangers were playing catch up, and you know, they had opportunities, right? They out hit the Astros last night. They had their chances. They just couldn't capitalize.
Well, have fun down there tonight, Sands, and look forward to catching up with you tomorrow.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.
There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. Pregame coming up at 6:30. Carroll against Blue Ball, at least for the opener there from Houston side. We're coming back with Mark Schlereth, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to tell you all about week two and look forward to week three coming up next. Is your energy not what it used to be? Gavin Dawson here, rolling with you live for Men's T Clinic. I love Men's T Clinic and their five DFW locations. If you have low stamina, maybe some weight gain, a dip in confidence, it's likely low testosterone gets the best of all of us. Okay, so nothing to be ashamed of. Just check into a Men's T Clinic near you. They'll take a quick blood sample, tell you what your testosterone numbers are, then they're going to get it optimized. And the medical experts at Men's T Clinic, they're the best. They will tailor a treatment plan specifically for you to make sure you're feeling like yourself again, stronger, sharper, full of energy to tackle whatever you need to do. And at Men's T Clinic, you will also find the best hair replacement therapies, natural regenerative therapies for joint pains like pro athletes, you know, get to come back from injuries. They got that for you at Men's T Clinic. Bedroom wellness as well. You will perform the best that you ever have. Okay, let's just put it like that. Same day appointments, quick visits, expert care. There is no reason to wait. Get back in the game. Get your edge back. What are you fighting? Fatigue, low libido, brain fog. It's common. And the great thing is we have a heck of a solution. Just visit Men's T Clinic. Take the first step. Get your edge back. 972-GO-MEN'S-T. MensTClinic.com. Salute. Thank you, Jacob, in for Lucius today. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stinkin' Truth Podcast Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And a good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good, you know, by a miracle, I suppose, and Brandon Aubrey's leg. But we're also excited about Javonte Williams. And I wanted to ask you how this compares to what he just put on film in Denver last couple years.
Yeah, last 2 years. I mean, when he was a rookie, he looks back to like what he was doing his rookie year, which was explosive and just running people over. And over the last couple of years here in Denver, I mean, he had a gruesome knee injury. And so, you know, there's always that kind of time period. You always kind of feel like, hey, it's the second year after an ACL reconstruction. You know, it's the next year that you really have. But it's really taken him several years to look like he's got that confidence, like he's got that explosiveness and that willingness to run people over again. And I know how, you know, I know for my own career, I mean, what saved my career in college, because I was retired in college from football, was moving from defense back over to the offensive side of the ball. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, now I can play without so much fear about, you know, planting my leg in the ground and trying to chase a quarterback as a, you know, a D end or a nose guard or a, you know, D-tackle and be back on the offensive side of the ball. So, like, for him to do what he did, it was one of the things as I was watching that game, I was like, good for Javonte, because he looks like a completely different cat than he did the last 2 years in Denver.
Stake, I wanted to ask you how big this loss of Cooper Beebe, the Cowboys center, is, but just that center position in general and the importance of that for the rest of the other five.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always make a deal of, hey, the center, you know, sets the protection, but everybody does it, right? I mean, it's we're all talking. It's all, you know, warning, and it gets passed down from one set to the other. And then in today's game, it's not as prevalent because a lot of quarterbacks set protections. And so the biggest issue is that you miss having a guy that can really play. And, you know, and so, you know, that continuity and all that stuff. And so that'll be an interesting thing to see, because he's got like a high ankle sprain, right? He's going to be out like 6 weeks or something. Is that what I read?
Yeah, so, lateral ankle sprain. Then he's got a broken bone in the foot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. This is always devastating. And so, and continuity is so important up front. But it's always one of those things that's hard. To have those five guys, last the whole season and be in there together and working together is incredibly important. Can you overcome it? Absolutely, you can overcome it. Who comes in? I'm sorry for my lack of knowledge.
Brock Hoffman.
That guy, I don't know. That always scares me. I think one of the things that scares me about losing offensive linemen is most of the backups in this league can't play. And it's changed dramatically from when I was in the league, because we used to have all our backups when I was a player were guys that had started somewhere else for several years and, injuries or getting older or whatever. But those guys you could plug and play for 2, 3, 4 games, 6 weeks, whatever it was. And one of the things that has happened in the league now is that's a cost savings place. And so instead of spending, several million dollars on a veteran guy you know can play, you've got a second-year dude that you're trying to develop, and it's really hard to develop these guys because we never put them in pads anymore. And those guys, more often than not, can't play. And that would be my biggest concern. And, you saw the meltdown with the left tackle of the Giants, Hudson, in that game, a young player, it's really such a technically advanced position, and the league tries to save money by using rookies and first and second year players that really haven't been developed. So it's a big issue around the league in general.
Mark, we got the Bears on deck now for the Cowboys. What's it like playing in Soldier Field, and what do you think about the Bears?
Yeah, the Bears, offensively, man, they've been really good in their first scripted drives, and then they haven't been worth a squirt of urine after that. Mm. So Caleb Williams has not looked good. There's no question that he has been kind of out of sync after they get off that initial script. And the thing about that is everybody goes, well, why didn't you script the whole game? Well, the defense adjusts. So you take your first 15 or whatever it is, and you say, hey, we want to run this to this formation, we think we're going to get this look and stuff. And when it all pans out that way, great. Then all of a sudden you run the same play and they give you a different look and they give you a different defense and a different defensive front and a different coverage. And then it falls apart. And the issues that I think about Caleb Williams when I've watched him, and this goes all the way back to college, is when you play at a school like USC and 9 of your 11 games, you're physically, you're just more talented than the team you play. And when you get off script and you play off script all the time as a quarterback and you make big plays, everybody praises you and says you're a generational talent. And generational talent doesn't mean anything to me. I want generational quarterbacking. And, and so when your default mechanism is from the neck down, meaning you take off and you scramble around, and you try to make something big happen, you don't win that way in the NFL. You win by being boring. You win by staying on script. You win by, if you're running a curl flat combination, the flat is open, you take it 100 out of 100 times and you set yourself up for second down and 5. And now everything is open to you. And if you pull that ball and say, hey, I'm going to scramble around a little bit, and you take a sack and now it's second down and, 14, you don't convert those. That doesn't happen in this league. So until you start playing quarterback as opposed to generational athlete, you're gonna struggle.
Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side with Mark Schlereth here on The Fan.
Steve, you've got a unique perspective, I'd say, to compare with this Brady stuff that everyone's worried about today, because he's, of course, the owner, and then he's also with the Fox broadcast like you are, and you're getting to talk with the coaches and the players. You told us last year you also do consulting around the league. So, what are your thoughts on this with the conflict of interest with Brady and maybe some insight he can gain for the Raiders?
Yeah, I think it's much ado about nothing. I understand that everybody's up in arms, but everybody runs the same stuff. I can put on tape of anybody. There's no new plays. Everybody runs, you know, a Mills concept. Everybody runs a Yankee concept off a play pass. Everybody runs curl flat. Everybody runs, you know, scat Hank. Everybody, like, it's all the same stuff. You know, do you have the players to execute it? And so ultimately, what are you really going to learn? Do you think all of a sudden he's going to be in a facility or in a Zoom meeting and say, hey, by the way, I was in this Zoom meeting and I saw the secret plays. You know, I saw the ones that they got from Hogwarts. So now I can give it to the Raiders staff. Like, those guys are watching the coaches tape. Those guys know, those coaches have been around for a long time. They know what you're good at. They know what you run. You're not finding some trade secret. So, you know, I don't know. I think there's almost zero, you know, competitive advantage that you're going to gain from Brady having a meeting with other coaches.
How about injuries then? How about like the fact that he did the Washington and Giants game in week one, the Raiders play this week, and there's maybe some guys coming back from injuries and stuff like that. What if he gets medical information?
What are you going to say? Hey, this guy's going to play this week, or this guy's not going to play this week? Or?
Well, maybe they feel like that. Maybe they're in a situation where they're kind of feeling like that this guy might be back this week. You know, we're going to push it for this week. He's going to be back for you. You know, maybe the coaches are trying to keep that secret, but they tell Tom because he's in the building.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that could happen. I do think that, you know, you're following pretty closely the injury reports. You're following all that stuff. I just don't think there's a lot of information you're going to garner from you know, being inside one of those facilities. I mean, I'm in one every week.
Sure.
And I've got a ton of relationships with coaches, and I've got a ton of relationships, you know, with GMs and
do you feel like stink that you get more information than more broadcasters because of former player and maybe the relationships you have?
I think I get more information because I ask better questions.
Okay.
Because like for me, like curiosity is the most important part of learning, and I'm curious.
Sure.
And I watch, you know, I just watch a ton of film and I look at a lot of things, and then I want to know how it works. You know, sometimes there's so much that you know from playing, but the thing that always blows me away when I'm watching stuff and I'm talking to people is all the stuff I don't know.
Right.
And so that I'm always trying to figure out why do you do it out of this formation? Why do you run this play out of this? And I think one thing about coaches in general, coaches love to talk about football.
Sure.
So if you come in and you ask them all the questions about, you know, hey, like this guy said this, and, you know, and all this stuff that, you know, all the soap opera nature of the league, they have to answer those stupid questions all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you start asking them about football, dude, they just love, like, coaches love to talk to you about football.
Right.
And they love to explain it, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'll walk out of a meeting that's a great meeting, and sometimes my producer will just be like, dude, you guys were speaking a different language. Yeah. Because it gets into football talk. You know, you're talking about sevens and, you know, eight routes and seven routes and, you know, smash combinations. And you know, we all speak that same language. You're talking about, hey, man, the difference between playing a, hey, what's the difference? Why are you putting this guy in a four eye and this guy in a five technique? And, you know, and coaches just, they light up about stuff like that. Meanwhile, everybody else in the room is going, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah.
Appreciate it as always, Mark. Have a great week three, and we'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
Salute. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Make plans to join us tomorrow in Argyle. We're going to be having a party there at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits starting at 2 o'clock. Frenchtown Salon and Suites is doing giveaways. Dan's Bagels, Argyle Cigar and Smoke. And check this out, $25 gift card for all new Tolo customers tomorrow. That says all new.
There you go.
So join us and get a $25 gift card to Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits. We'll have ourselves a time. Chief, what are we doing next?
Football's finest, 877-881-1053 through 2 weeks. What did you get right about the Cowboys, and what have you gotten wrong, plus the house of dysfunction that is the Bears?
If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. The way to get it right at that point is to call the Frankels right there roadside, 214 or 817-333-3333. I'll give you that number again so you can put it in your phone. You know, 18-wheeler hits you, commercial vehicle, something like that. You're talking about tons of power throwing you up against that wall, maybe turning you literally upside down. Well, your life is going to be upside down in more ways than one on the other side of one of those accidents. You know, you have immediate medical expenses and potentially lost wages. You might need a new career re-education, might need a new vehicle. And the list goes on and on. Bottom line, settlements can easily be six figures, sometimes even seven when you're talking about being hurt, not your fault. The Frankels specialize in getting you maximum value for your pain and suffering. You know, you could be looking at decades of, you know, something that's going to impact the way you get around. You might need one of them blue placards to put on your rear view a mirror when you pull into the grocery store or somewhere. You know what I'm talking about. So, you know, that is a life-changing event. You deserve to be compensated for that. Frankels make sure that you do not settle for less. Again, that number, 214 or 817-333-3333. 214 or 817, the nothing but threes. Go online, frankelfirm.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.